Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
With an amazing grace, Jesus extends the invitation to the party of life, that everyone from whatever background is invited to the party and everyone can belong. And this is an invitation that's extended with an exclamation mark every morning when the sun rises. And we can hear, if we're listening to, in our soul, the words wanting to come out, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. But there are some mornings we feel like that lady who said, Lord, it's gone, been a good day so far. It's been a good day. Everything has gone my way, and I feel just right, but I'm about to get out of bed, and it may be all downhill from here. There's a sense that in the invitation that God takes us to, it's like what Gay was saying, that when she heard the voice of the Lord speak to her while holding her 11-month-old beautiful baby, who now is a beautiful teacher and follower of Christ, the voice did not stop that day, but the voice had awakened her into the great creation of the Creator and got named as Jesus. Jesus, truly the author of our lives, who's always wanting to write updates into our lives. Jesus, the life who greets us where we are, is, as Randy prayed, that however, whatever door we got through to enter this worship, by the door of Zoom or by the door here at TriPoint, we are in the presence of God with an awe and wonder. Now, sadness is, there are a lot of people who don't know that a party is going on. And there's a sadness that a lot of people think a party is going on, but they don't know how to get there. And there's a real sadness for people who are in the party, but they ain't partying. And the power of this message of Jesse read for us is the power of Jesus showing what party is really all about. And that is, you're feeling left out, you can belong, but you got to choose to be at the party with him. But how does that unfold for us? Well, it means that if you're willing, God meets you right where you are. He meets you right where you are and takes you where you need to be. See, this is not just any kind of party of life, but this is a party to live into the ways of God for all eternity that gives you the depth of meaning and joy in the midst of anguish and sorrow here on earth, but takes you to all eternity. He takes you where you need to be because he's able to meet you where you are right now. Now, in this story, there is a story about three people. There's the guy who's throwing the party. We'll learn his name is Simon. The person he invited to come to his dinner party, that's Jesus. And then a lady who wasn't invited to the party, but she knew it'd be okay with Jesus if she found the back door in, and that's the woman. And among these three people, we're going to learn a lot about the ways of God in the invitation to the kind of party that God gives. Now, back in the day of Jesus, there was no snail mail. There was no U.S. mail. There was no FedEx or UPS. There was no email. You know that. But how did invitations get to people? They went person by person. It's like the one who was given the party then sent out to all the family and the servants and said, I want you to go and invite these people to the dinner party we're about to have. Now, not everybody got invited to that party that Simon was having that evening, but the messages had gone out and people were showing up. Now, when God invites us to his party, he wants us to know that we can have the dance of life. So, you know, Blue and Bobby Kingston, they were married for over 70 years. And Bobby passed away. His name was Happy, called by his church, his family. And Blue just passed away a few days ago at age 96. And I, you know, Baptists, I want you to know that they're dancing at our Mulberry campus. They're dancing right there at the Creative Life Center next to the sanctuary. And they were dancing in life. But when they came to faith to Christ, their lives were changed on the inside out. When they met each other and fell in love with each other and married each other, they made a commitment to tithe. They made a commitment of a generosity of love. They made a commitment of a generosity of their finances when they were just getting started in life. And what that set a tone for them was, is that God's grace wasn't just about blessing them, but they were to be a blessing for others. And the tithe was simply one way of getting at that, but their personalities were reaching out, and they extended themselves. And as they did that, they could feel the joy of God growing in their life all along the way. Now, I hope you're dancing. I hope you dance better than I do. But I hope you're dancing in life. All kinds of music, like Johnny Bush would sing. Sad songs, happy songs. But in the dance of faith, Jesus is given a party. Now, when the invitation is given by the Lord to this party of life that we can take, we've been as a child and have it throughout our entire life, we have to remember the nature of the party. It's the party of understanding that we are the invited guest to belong, given to everyone. But we're the invited guests. Hosea 6:6 put it this way. One of the heart passages of the Hebrew scriptures is when the prophet Hosea, who was married to a Gomer, who was married to a prostitute, who was married to a woman who didn't think that she could ever learn how to be faithful to a husband, never believed she could get married, and it was a struggle for her to figure out that sexual addiction in her life. It was a struggle for her to live under the oppression of a male-dominated society where she didn't think she had a freedom to live it a different way. And here comes Hosea, a prophet of God, who extends to her his heart of love and invites her into marriage. And she broke his heart. And he forgave her, and she broke his heart, and he forgave her. And the story and the dance of their love was just trying to redeem her from this way of living life that was causing anguish, this sinful way of life. And so here's what he learned about God. Say it with me. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. That when some people were coming to the worship experience of the party back in the day of Hosea, they thought if they just kind of brought to their burnt offerings and that's all that God wanted. Nah, that's just an extension of the heart. And so the acknowledgement of what he is. And so the guy who was throwing the party thought he was doing a really good thing when he invited Jesus to come in. And so when he extended to Jesus, he thought Jesus is very controversial, but he'll get him into the party and, you know, let Jesus kind of stand on his own feet and see what he does in the party. Now, a good thing about Jesus is that you can always know he can handle himself. Of course, Jesus is the resurrected presence of God in our midst. God can always handle himself wherever we are, but we're always having to line ourselves up with him. Now, this is what happens. First, you got to take in God's updating messages. You've got to say, this is what I want. I need to know to hear from God. God wants you to know that he believes in you. He's an optimist about your life. He wants to teach you. He wants to teach you heavenly news for earthly living. But the question is, are you an optimist about God? Are you listening? Are you listening in a way that you know he's giving you a love message for you to live your life in this day? All right. So Jesus at the party could tell that Simon, the host of the party, was getting very uncomfortable because the uninvited guest was at the feet of Jesus and she was expressing the joy of her heart about knowing that he had paid it all, that her sins indeed had been forgiven, and she was expressing that. And I'll get more to that in a moment. But while this uninvited guest is really doing the work of yielding her life to Christ, Simon, this Pharisee, was thinking to himself, and of course Jesus can understand what you're thinking right now and what I'm thinking. The God who knows us knows our hearts and our thoughts. And so the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, Hebrews 4:12. This word of God comes to us with a discernment out of love for our lives. I imagine, though, that Simon at the party was saying, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed by this, but I didn't invite her, and yet Jesus is letting her, you know, wash her feet with her tears. And if he really was a prophet, so he's proven he's not a prophet, he wouldn't be letting that happen. So that's kind of what's going on with him. And Jesus said, you're not taking in what's really going on. So he said, Simon, I have something to tell you. And he said, tell me, teacher. Now, what Simon did was most important. He said, Christ had gotten his attention, and so Simon says, okay, I want to hear. That's what the Lord wants from us. We may be way off base, but if we can come to God and say, okay, I want to hear. However your life was in March of 2020 when COVID-19 began and the economy started doing this roller coaster and you're wondering about your job and the political heat of elections were catching fire, in the midst of all of that, Jesus wanted you to stay on. You're focused with him. By focusing on him, we're able to see everything else for what it is and what it's not. So he said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Leslie, I have something to tell you. Gay, I have something to tell you. Randy, I have something to tell you. I have something to tell you. And he said, okay. And to his credit, that's how he responded. Now, we've learned all kinds of ways to get together and to listen to each other these days, right? Zoom. How many of you were Zooming in February of 2020? I see one hand. All right. I didn't even know what Zoom was. But who among us lives without Zoom today? Why did we learn that? Why are so many joining us by live streaming and Facebook Live and then later by Zoom? It's because we want to connect. We want to be present. We want to be there, given the context that we are in. This is just from one of the Bible studies that I'm a part of. And it's a way of learning. And if we can learn about technology, we can learn how to live in the ways of God for the times in which we are living. Joe Biden is the president of the United States. Donald Trump had been the president of the United States. Barack Obama had been the president of the United States. George W. Bush had been the president of the United States. Bill Clinton had been the president of the United States. H.W. Bush had been the president of the United States. And on the Ronald Reagan, and on the story goes. And if you don't like one of them, you might like another one. Right? That's how it is right now for us. But if somebody's your president and you don't like him, then pray all the more for him. And when you pray all the more for the one that you don't like, God will do something to your heart and to my heart. And it keeps what we don't like about somebody from being an idol in our lives. Because when we create an idol in our life, we bend to the authority of that idol, and it will dictate anger and destruction among us. We have the power to destroy ourselves, but we have a power at a key time in world history, in American history, in Texas history, in San Antonio history, to rise above this as the people of God. We had a president, and it was necessary for us to teach a rule in our family to say, before you say something negative about him, you need to say something positive. And sometimes people would go days without speaking anything about it. You know? There's a sense about taking in this radical message that God gives us. So we need to receive. So we take it in, and then we receive and we give love through forgiveness. See, this is the party invitation. It's the invitation of God's love in the shape of grace, providing forgiveness to come and be a part in a gratitude of his love that forms you, fashions you, and blesses you. His invitation is always extended in this love, but the love has to be expressed so frequently in forgiveness. You know, we have to be aware that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone. I'm not an exception. You're not an exception. No one's an exception. But by the grace of Christ, we can all know that the wages of sin is not death, but the wages of sin becomes life. These passages of Romans 3:23 and 6:23. And this extension of the love is this forgiveness heals the underlying condition to recreate life. Have you really been forgiven? In the COVID-19 environment, we've heard a lot about underlying conditions, to be aware of our underlying conditions that can make one more vulnerable to this particular form of the virus. But that's true for a lot of things in life. And where we have been hurt deep within, and if it's not healed, then we get angry. And the anger leads to resentment, and resentment leads to, well, all kinds of stuff. And so the Lord has that underlying condition that we are forgiven from, and we know that we've accepted that forgiveness by how we live. We've been doing a lot of throwback kind of photographs with each other, things we used to be able to do, we look forward to getting to do. One of those was and a couple of years ago when we as a church family, on behalf of our society, took place in the MLK march, just saying as followers of Christ, we are committed that our all the wounds in our society be healed and all the racial wounds be healed. And so as we were part of when it was America's largest march ever, it was just that, it was the sense of a togetherness. And there are so many ways that we're together now and the ways that we look forward to being back together in Sunday school rooms in the future, but we can be there now by Zoom or in person or here, and that in the midst of your life, know that God has a way for you to extend the invitation of his party to everyone. So, when Jesus arrived at the party, he told Simon a parable. He said, now listen to this. In Luke 7:42. There was a man who had enough money, and he trusted two different people. He had loaned his money out, and one was 500 days of wages, and the other was 50 days of wages. And in the midst of that, neither one were able to pay him back. And so the owner of the money decided to forgive both people. And Jesus asked Simon, he said, now which one do you think loved the owner of the money most? And so Simon said, I guess it's the one who had the biggest debt. And Jesus says, you're right. That's kind of how it works in our society. And you realize this woman right here, this woman has been forgiven much. You have said in this town that she lives a sexually loose life. You've said in this town that there are some men who have sex on the side with her and they go back to their own families pretending it never happened. There's a form in our society where she hadn't been able to get a job and so she chose this other way of getting it. But I always saw a better way for her. And the better way for her was for her to come into the grace of God who created her to see that she didn't have to do any of that stuff and she shouldn't do any of that stuff. And here she is at the table. And when I showed up, Simon, you didn't give me the kiss on the cheek, but she's never stopped kissing my feet. Simon, you didn't give me a basin of water that I could refresh my feet from walking here in my sandals, but she has washed my feet in her tears. You didn't give me a towel by which to refresh myself, but she has wiped her tears with her hair. Simon, She knows she's forgiven. You don't even know you've been forgiven. And in her knowing she's forgiven, she gets what this party of life is all about. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. See who and what God puts in front of you. Don't miss out on what is blocking out God's point of view from your being able to see God's point of view. Do you see what God is showing you? Charles Spurgeon put it this way. Charles Spurgeon, one of the great Baptist preachers. There was a time in Kansas City, I was able to go to this Charles Spurgeon library at a nearby college that had his collection. And I remember being struck by this passage. Spurgeon, who was part of a lot of controversies, understood that we must all learn to hear what we do not like. The question is not, is it pleasant, but is it true? What I've said time and again is that what is most true is most real, and whatever is most true comes from God, and therefore that's to be most real in our life. And Jesus said, Simon, this woman, do you see her? I mean, do you really see her? She's right in front of your eyes, but you have a point of view that's blocking you from seeing her like I see her. Doesn't it hurt? You've got somebody like that in your life. You have somebody in your life that's not seeing you for who you really are. And doesn't that hurt? And when you can shift the point of view and see them more fully for who they are in light of Christ, it helps them to see you more clearly in the light of Christ. And then the relationship, it begins to get made whole. That's the gift of what the Lord is doing. So in awe, people were saying, who is it that can forgive sins? Who is it that can forgive sins? Some were saying it in ridicule. He thinks he can forgive sins, but can he really do that? But in all, there were some people saying, "Can he really is forgiving sins." And he says to her, your faith has made you whole. Your sins are forgiven. What is your sin? Cheating? Lying? Deceit, adultery, murder, disobeying the heart of God's message. Simon thought he was better off and he wasn't in need of this extension of grace, but he needed as much as she did. But this is not a one and done deal. Just like what Gay was saying, that simply begins, but it continues through the course of our life. Now, in this invitation, just as you are, Jesus is saying to you, do you receive the invitation that's printed by forgiveness? Do you receive the invitation that is shaped by grace? Do you see the invitation that has the fragrance of love? Do you receive this as an extension to you? Yes, Lord. Then Jesus says, receive it, take it in. And then, on my behalf, I want you to extend it to another person. That's the radical message of the gospel. To change the world is to change us, who then is used by God to change the lives of others. I'm an optimist because I believe in God. I've seen the face of evil, but I've seen the face of Christ showing evil for what it really is. A bully trying to create a fear. And Jesus has defeated the devil. But we must believe and put it into action.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.